are listening to Seated to Serve with business leader and community activist Jeff Bickerstaff, connecting the dots between community, business, and family. Now, here's your host, Jeff Bickerstaff.
Today, my guest is Scott Schilling. He is executive coach, trainer, speaker, and president and CEO, and all those good titles. Welcome, Scott.
Well, hey, thank you. This is awesome. I appreciate the opportunity.
You know, I always like to talk to people that, you know, have a bunch of titles because I feel like you probably earned them all. And you probably...
Well, I bought a few, too.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I heard you can buy those titles sometimes.
Exactly.
Well, Scott, we're glad you're here today, and I'm just so glad that you're on the show, and we got a book we're going to talk about here in a second. And for my audience, this is great. I think this is my first podcast where I'm interviewing the author that has a book coming out, so this is a thrill for me.
It's already out by the time this is airing.
That's true. It will be. We're going to talk about what that book is and how it's going to help people.
That's right.
But first of all, Scott, just a little background on you. How'd you get to where you're at?
Well, I've been very fortunate. You know, I started out in corporate America like the vast majority of people. My dad worked for the same company for 46 years from the time he was 17 till he was 63. And so as you grow up around that, that's your path until it's not. I rocketed through the top of a company, became the highest position in the field at the youngest age in history. And I know you find this hard to believe, but corporate America changed.
I find that very hard to believe.
And I had a choice. I worked for them, and therefore I had to do what they asked me to do. But when it came down to a point where I chose not to do those things, I still had to look at one person in the mirror and hold that accountability. And so when they said, well, I need to dismiss somebody from the staff, I called them and I said, I got your head count. And they said, who? I said, it's me. I resign.
You are not what you eat. You are what you absorb. Air, water, and nutrients are vital to your health. Today's lifestyles are bombarded with electromagnetic frequencies. Absorbing these frequencies are linked to brain fog, to illness and diseases, down to the cellular level. I am Brenda Wakefield. Go to betterhealthbrenda.com to discover how you can protect your family, work and living spaces, your mind and your body without disconnecting from your wireless lifestyle. betterhealthbrenda.com, betterhealthbrenda.com.
So I'm not suggesting the best move I've ever made, but right. It was an interesting move.
Well, I'm sure that certainly caught them off guard.
It did catch them off guard. They didn't want to accept it, but they said I had to reduce headcount, so I did.
You know, I always think it's funny when people have to, I'm not going to accept your resignation. It's like, well, whether you do or not, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought that was kind of funny. Well, you know, as I got to know a little bit more about you, because yes, I do prep for my show, is that there's you ask yourself, I think, very interesting questions of people. And if you don't mind, I just want to start out with one of your questions that you always ask your clients, or if you want to call them clients, I
sure.
guess. You're facing a tough challenge. So how do you handle that? And I know in talking right before the show, you've had your own set of challenges. Tell us a little bit. How do you approach that? How do we overcome those challenges?
Well, I think a lot of times coaches and trainers and speakers tend to impart what they want to, their desire. And it really has absolutely nothing to do with the coach or the trainer or the speaker. It has everything to do with the person they are coaching or training or speaking to. And so it's much easier for me to share. In fact, I was training an organization yesterday, and the way I opened up the training was I have 514 slides available today. So I just set back and buckle in. And once you see the shock on their face, you say, no, I actually do have 514 slides, but they're all irrelevant until we know what you want to talk about. What do you need to know? So when I ask, you know, what's a challenge that you're facing today, and what's your strategy for addressing that challenge? Most people have the answer to the first part. You know, I can tell you what the challenge is. What they don't have is what the strategy is to address that challenge. And that's what I work to help them with.
You know, that's an excellent point, because I think everybody listening has had a challenge, probably most likely many challenges in their life.
And if they say they don't, they have another challenge. It's called lying.
Yes. As my third grade teacher, Miss Childress, she told me that, well, you live... near the river of the Nile. You know, the Nile. Yeah, I always remember that. And you're right. If you think you don't have any challenges, then you probably are living in denial. And, I mean, you could tell a lot about a person and how they handle adversity. And I know there's obviously different ways to approach a challenge. And for someone like yourself, how, you know, like you said, everybody's different. Those 514 slides you talked about, if I don't, if one of those slides or all of doesn't fit my situation, then like you said, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Right.
So as a trainer, as a coach, you know, how do you extract that out of people, or how do you get to know what their challenges are?
Well, the real thing is to give them a safe space and have them understand that you're teaming with them to help them create a lifelong solution to that challenge. We all face numerous challenges, quite frankly, on a daily basis. It's not the challenge. It's not the event that determines the quality of our life. It's the event plus how we respond to that event. You know, I mean, we can see that, and there's so many different examples. There are people who win the lottery, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, they have a posse around them. Now, they never had a posse prior, but they're broker after winning the lottery than they were prior because they have a posse. Or you could take it and say, I won the lottery. I'm going to deposit 50% of it to set some savings up. I'm going to serve this person, this person, and this person. I'm going to put the... In either case, you won the lottery. The difference is, did you win the lottery to use it to enhance your life, or did you use it to basically ultimately detract from your life? So that's a big part of it, is understanding where people are and where they want to go.
You know, I think... Speaking of the lottery, I think there's a book out there many years ago. It followed lottery winners, their life after they won. And it's actually ended up being a pretty sad book to read.
Very much so, because all of a sudden, as opposed to taking things and being grateful for it, and I think that that's where it really comes from. It comes from a heart set and a mindset of gratitude. You know, you can win the lottery and be grateful and then put those proceeds into great service to yourself, your family, and to others. Or you can just say, well, I deserve this, and just kind of be silly with it.
Yeah.
So I think it's really your mindset, your heart set, you know, what you're really looking to accomplish. And I think people are, I actually believe people are inherently good. Hmm? Sometimes they just make not such great decisions.
Well, I think that's the way God wired us. I think, and you know, we're inherently want to do good. I mean, God, the way he made us, we inherently are drawn to him.
Trusted roofing and renovation experts, Bacon Roofing for all your interior and exterior renovations throughout DFW. BaconRoofing.com. Call 972-772-1999 today.
However, as you probably are well aware of, sometimes people look in the wrong spot, you know, because we have that need to connect.
Well, he also gave us free will.
Yeah.
And the one thing about free will is, on one side, while one of the two words is free, it really ain't so free.
No.
You know, we can make some decisions that really bind us. Well, pretty tough in pretty tough situations.
No, you're right, because I see it just today. Even when I was growing up, I have three kids, and they're still in school. And, you know, it's funny, because if you take not just my kids, but any kid individually, hey, they're a great kid. You know, they do this, they do that. If they hang around, though, with the wrong, we'll use your word, posse, like we talked about before, then they can change really quickly. Their influence and things like that. So I know that's another thing that you...
Well, it's not just kids. The fact is, we all, that's the three-letter word, all are the sum total of our five closest friends. Take their income plus or minus $10,000, the average, that's where you'll be. Now, that's not just in income. That's in education. That's in attitude. That's in whatever. You know, when I went out to become a professional speaker, trainer, coach, I had to up-level some of the people that I got to associate with. Well, when you're hanging around with some of the people I've been blessed to get to know and become friends with, it up levels your game. It can't help but doing that. So, you know, guilt by association.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also a thing called success by association. But either one of them is a choice, which comes back down to God's free will for us.
No, you're right. I think the expression that we hear probably more than not, it's guilty by association. But that, you know, that's a great reminder for our audience, because you can be successful by association too. I think, like you said, it goes back to who you're hanging around with. The other thing too, I think is very important to talk about and how you approach things, is the spirituality of it. Because, you know, being a Christian myself, you could get up there and say whatever you're going to say. I don't know how much you can educate me, but I don't know how much that would mean, though, if you weren't coming from that mindset.
Right. Well, again, I think the spiritual side is really a heart set. It's really a choice. Christianity is a choice, and to what extent you live it and what you do. Recently, I was speaking at an event, and a woman came up to me afterwards, and she said, you know, I'm a coach, trainer, and speaker as well, but I have to ask you one question. And I said, go ahead. And she said, how do you have the courage to lead with faith? And I said, well, it actually takes very little courage. I only work for one guy, and what I've come to know is I'm allergic to lightning. And she looked at me, and she did pretty much what you just did, right? What do you mean you're allergic to lightning? I only have to follow the belief that I have chosen to accept and then be a living example of that. Well, and that's how you lead with faith.
Amen. I think that's very important, because that is just, we get so caught up in the material things, you know, hey, if I could just have this, if I could just have this. And in what you do, I'm sure you see a lot of people focused on the wrong thing, you know, prioritizing the wrong thing.
Right.
And so, yeah, I know this is a 5-second version, if you will, but how do you steer people away from that?
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to, and I will not mention the name, but they were somebody that virtually everybody would know, fortunate enough to be a friend. And we were sitting and we were having a glass of red wine. And, you know, he's telling me about spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on an alcohol recovery system for a family member. And he was talking about an opioid addiction to one of the children, and a this and a that. And I looked over and I said, and I'm aspiring to be you. Why? And he said, touche, grasshopper. Yeah. You know, it's kind of the, you know, be careful what you ask for and what you want. The blessing that I've had being a professional speaker and trainer, I've probably spoken in front of a million people live, but I see that and I'm very grateful for it. It's not like, oh, aren't I cool because of that? It's, wow, what an amazing opportunity God's given me with all of that. And so again, I think choice is an amazing thing. There's always two sides to it, or more even sometimes. But when we choose to do things for a greater good, or the reason of the greater good, it's amazing how easy it makes decisions.
You're right. And, you know, Scott, you make some great points. And when we come back from our break, we're actually going to get into the book you've written and how that's helping people.
Great.
So we're here again with Scott Schilling, and we're going to pay some bills with our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Parting with a home that you've loved, growing into the next phase of your life? Trust the team at Jeannie Martin Real Estate to handle the details of your situation with tender, loving care. The Martin team is your home connection, North Central Texas. MARTENteam.com. Go to martenteam.com today.
And we're back. Again, we're talking to Scott Schilling. He is an executive coach, trainer, and speaker. And we love our sponsors, so thank you for visiting our sponsors. We love them, so we want you to go love on them. So go visit our sponsors. You know, I said in the very beginning of the podcast, Scott, that you have a book coming out. And this is my first interview of someone that when their book's coming out. You know, I always look at TV, you know, Fox, CNN, whoever, Good Morning America, Today Show. Well, we're so-and-so here has got a new book out, blah, blah, blah. So this is really a thrill for me, so I appreciate you letting me do it. But the name of your book is That Sucks, What Now? Real World Solutions for Getting Through What You're Going Through. That's a tongue twister almost. That's got to be exciting. Now, I have to admit, I thought that was your first book, but this is number 15?
Yeah, it's about 15.
That's awesome.
It's the first one I've really decided to promote.
Okay.
So that's,
now you know you're supposed to do that, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm a slow learner.
Okay.
That's why you come out with a book like this. That sucks. What now? You know, no, the it really is a matter of understanding that, you know, people. I've had people say, Scott, where'd the title come from? That doesn't sound like you. You know, you don't talk that way. And it really came from, like all of us, have been through a number of situations in my life, and some have been fabulous and some have been less than fabulous. And so as I was describing some of these to one of my friends, he said, I never knew you went through this or that or a variety of things. And I said, well, you don't necessarily wear every butt kicking on your sleeve. You know, you don't necessarily tell everybody about everything. But he said, you came through them all with, he goes, to the point where I never even knew they happened. How did you do that? Or what did you say to yourself? And I said, well, that sucks. What now? He goes, there's the name of your book. And I said, well, that's true. And the subtitle is really the real world solutions to getting through what you're going through. Well, isn't that what we all have to do? So I don't see the that sucks in a negative light in the least.
Right.
It's simply a realization and a statement of, boy, I wish this would have happened a different way. But now that it has, what now? What's the thing that you do? And as I was sharing before we went on earlier, you know, I just handle things the way I handle things because of the way I grew up, the culturalization, all the different things. We don't realize what we do until we do sometimes. And we don't realize that they're necessarily special to somebody else until somebody else hears them. Well, as I started sharing things back and forth, all of a sudden people were saying, man, can you share that tip, that technique, that strategy, the way you handle that? Could you share it with me? Well, then I found out that there was actually a lot of things like that. Mm-hmm. And so the book is over 200 pages of some success secrets that have been revealed and uncovered. Some are techniques or strategies or tips or things that I've done. Now, do I claim to know it all? No, but I've been blessed that God has put me through a lot of things to give me a lot of knowledge, and it's just time to share that knowledge.
Boy, I think you're absolutely right. There's nobody, my thought anyway, is that I would think there's nobody listening that hasn't gone through some kind of challenge. And like you said, some are good, but I think, let's be honest, most of us associate challenges with bad things. And sometimes we don't even call it challenges because we think that's too nice. You know, we had this tragedy happen. You know, we lost a job, lost a family member. Yeah, I mean, it could be a ton of different things. Or you could still be in your job, but now you're expected to do something that you weren't expected to do before and you don't have the skills to do it. I mean, it could be a ton of different things. And so I think a lot of times we associate challenges with negativity, but that's not always the case. But most people do, and I just want to touch on what you said. So your book title makes more sense to me now because, you know, when you say that sucks, kind of pause, what now? When I lost my job 8 years ago, that's, looking back on it, you know, that's what I said. You know, I mean, it definitely sucked. You know, I didn't have a job. You know, I had a wife and three kids to support, and, you know, it's like, It's awesome because what now? That's the title of your book. And so I wanted to explore that more with you because, you know, you're in that situation. So now what from the stuff you learned in the book, you know, what is the now what part of it?
Well, again, just every situation is pretty significantly different. I mean, I was the vice president of sales and marketing for a company. I had a great job. I did it well. There was nothing negative about it necessarily, other than I felt that God had given me more talents and capabilities than I was being allowed to use, and that I could ultimately serve more people. So it wasn't necessarily a negative moment. It was a realization of a desire to use the talents and capabilities I had been granted further. So I went into the speaking business full time, the training and coaching business full time. So there's an example of a challenge that's not necessarily a negative challenge. Now, that being said, I also had a near-death experience. I'm an overachiever. I lived. So I came through the other side of it.
Or you cheated death, as I like to say.
I did. And the point is, one of the first things that I did when I could is I Googled, so I had a full-blown cerebellar stroke, and I Googled, how long do I have to wait to drive after a stroke?
That's a good question.
Good question, right? And my best friend Google said, well, because of the damage to the brain and because of a stroke, most people never regain their ability to drive. And I was like, I'm not liking this answer so much. I said, wait. I'm a speaker, so how long will it be before I can go back on stage and speak, you know, have the balance, be able to walk around stage, and right? And Google says, especially with a cerebellar stroke, because it hits your memory and your fine motor skills and your speaking ability, most people never regain the ability to speak, so therefore they lose their profession forever. And I'm like, holy crap, now I'm scared.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't scared when I actually went through it. It was afterwards.
I think
that's
scrolling,
the reason for the book.
I think I'm scrolling down Google a little bit further till I get the answer I want. Because you know, if you scroll long enough, you'll get the answer.
Well, no, but I mean, that really is where part of the impetus for the book came, is to say not everybody is seeing those kind of answer or can not everybody is going to take that answer the way I did,
right,
and turn it into a positive. And unless I give them the idea that they can. And so that's really what I did, is I started writing the book, and it took a significant period of time, because as I told you earlier, there are things revealed in the book that when my sister, who's 11 years older, read the book, she goes, oh my God, I never knew you went through this. And I said, well, what am I supposed to tell everybody all the time, right? It's just not always so chipper.
What makes a trade show event an experience people remember? Attendees show up for the attractor factor, and if you don't have it, they'll walk away and forget you were there. Work with the experienced team of professionals at the Trade Group to maximize your marketing dollar in creative, impressive ways that keep them coming back for more. The Trade Group offers a full range of products and services that meet new budgets with TLC and give experienced exhibitors polish that pays off time and time again. Have an awesome event every time. Set up your consultation today at tradegroup.com. Experiential marketing delivers exceptional attendee participation rates and keeps you top of mind when it's time to buy. Stop by the Carrollton, Texas showroom and discover the possibilities. Trust the Trade Group, tradegroup.com, for events that draw a crowd. That's tradegroup.com.
I hear that too, because most people know that I lost my job 8 years ago, and that's a pretty easy story to tell, especially when you're on this side of it. but you're, like you said, though, there's a lot of other things that I don't wear on my sleeve, you know. And you know what's funny about that is, you know, because sadly, it's a very common thing for people to lose their job. I mean, almost everybody can relate to that on some level. If it hadn't happened to them, it's happened to a family member or what have you. But there's other things that not everybody can relate to. It's a certain subset. And so a lot of things, a story about me that a lot of people don't know is that, you know, when I graduated high school, it was just a terrible time for me because it was the adjustment thing. I'm a very structured guy. And so even though high school, I can't wait to graduate. But then I graduate, and then all my structure was gone. You know, and I was going to college, but college is, well, show up if you want to.
Yeah, there's no structure there.
There's no structure there.
Well, except for the beer parties.
Yeah, well, we won't go into that. But it's, for me, I just really, really struggled with that. So much so, I quit eating. You know, that's how I handle stress. And you don't handle it very well. But I don't have an appetite. I don't eat. And I lost all this weight. I mean, like, a lot of weight, like 60 pounds. You know, and, you know, people were looking at me like I had a disease and what have you. And you know, quite frankly, I probably couldn't blame them. You know, if you go from, you know, 210 to 155 is what I went to. But it was all because of that challenge, that struggle I was having. Now, of course, I've obviously got way past that. But nobody would know that unless it came up somehow. And sure enough, now I know why I went through that. part of the reason I went through that is because God said, you know what? You're going to run into somebody in the future that's mm-hmm. going to need to hear some words of encouragement to say, hey, you know, it's okay. You know?
Well, and that's really the purpose of the book. The book is not to chronicle my life or tell people about the innermost secrets or things like that. It's really to simply share the situations that I've been through and the solutions that have been developed around those situations to serve other people.
Yeah,
I've got an empathy that I wouldn't have had any other way. And I understand that God has trained me up to stand in front of thousands of people and disseminate a message of hope and inspiration, respect, honor, and dignity, and really give some people some hope that they may have lost along the way, just because nobody's invested in them.
No, you're right. And that's, you know, I didn't know you before today, but I respect you very much for doing that. Well, that's why I have a lot of respect for you, what you do. But give our audience that action step. What's next?
I'll give you an action step. I got a new book that just came out. And so one of the things I did is I sent an email to my friend Susan Hamilton and said, hey, there's a dang book out here
that
needs to be promoted. And what's the result is I'm sitting here today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
See, the fact is you simply have to take an action. You don't know what's going to happen out of that action, but you have to put yourself in action. One time a coaching client said to me, I'm stuck. I said, great, move. Yeah. She said, but I'm stuck. And I said, I know, move. She goes, I don't get it. I said, can you feel your right foot? Yes, move it. Yeah. Did you move it? Yes, you're no longer stuck.
We don't like those easy answers.
Well,
come
but the reality is the vast majority of people don't take any action. The only way to get feedback in life is to take an action. The chances of you taking the right action the first time are negligible, but the feedback is invaluable. So you've got to take action towards whatever it is you'd like to do. If you want to turn your life around, go tell somebody, I want to turn my life around. What you'll probably find is somebody who gives you a shoulder, says, I'm here for you. How can I help?
Well, Scott, that's a great way to end the podcast. You've been a wonderful guest. And again, one more shot. How can people get a hold of you for your services? And plug that book one more time.
Yes, scottschilling.com. ScottSchillingOnline.com, Scott@ScottSchilling.com is my email address.
You make it so complicated.
I make it so hard. And the book is That Sucks, What Now? Real World Solutions to Getting Through What You're Going Through.
And if you didn't catch all that, no biggie. It's going to be on our podcast website. You can write it all down then. And I can promise you, Scott will get a hold of you, and he's looking forward to talking to you. Scott, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you or your business is interested in being a guest or advertising on the Seed of the Serve show, please call 972-771-4992, or you can email me at jeff@bickerstaffinsurance.com. That's jeff@bickerstaffins.com. That's it for this episode of Seed of the Serve. We're connecting the dots between business, community, and family. Have a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to Seated to Serve with Jeff Bickerstaff. To be a guest on Seated to Serve or to advertise your business, contact 972-771-4992. Seated to Serve is produced by Offbeat Business Media for the OBBM Network and affiliates and is available at offbeatbusinessmedia.com. Listen to Seated to Serve each Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on OBBM Radio and the OBBM Network podcast, also available on Google Play, iTunes, and your Offbeat Business app. Contact 972-771-4992 for guest and sponsor information today.
You do your best to communicate how your company solves a specific problem, right? But it's easy to overlook the way your company sounds and the impression that leaves. I'm Melanie Murphy, a professional voice actor, and I'm ready to help your message stand out through a radio ad, a video on your website, or phone messaging for your company. Contact me today at MelanieMurphyVO.com to discuss your voiceover needs. That's MelanieMurphyVO.com. Mention this ad for an Offbeat Business Show discount.